put us into lecture mode.
Your
I'll just
conference
introduce
is being
our
recorded.
Before I start the lecture mode, I'll just introduce our speakers for today. I want to start by thanking all of the participants that are on the call. To all of you who completed the H&HB Lynn hip fracture and total joint replacement self-assessment, I know that was a considerable amount of work. I want to thank all the stakeholders that were involved. If you did not complete an assessment, you will find that it's very helpful, the analysis and the summary that's been completed by the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance. I want to thank the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance because, as you'll see in the presentation, they received a lot of responses and self-assessments from the H&HB Lynn, and they've taken all of that information and completed a provincial analysis, which was shared earlier, some of the results at our Rehabilitative Care Committee, and now they completed a summary that's specific to the H&HB Lynn. We will be discussing the specific H&HB Lynn findings today. I want to welcome Carissa Levy, who's the Executive Director of the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance. I'm sure she requires no introduction, and everyone on the line would know Carissa. Welcome, Carissa. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to say.
Thank you so much for having us. I'll just be speaking a few to the introduction slides, Kim, and then I'll pass it over to Gabrielle.
Perfect. Thanks, Carissa. And then our next introduction is to Gabrielle Sadler. And Gabrielle Sadler is a project manager with the Rehabilitative Care Alliance. And Gabrielle has done a considerable amount of work to collect all of the self-assessment findings and to analyze the provincial results and also our H&HB Lynn results. And she's here to share those results and answer any questions today. So welcome, Carissa. Welcome, Gabrielle. And thank you to everyone who participated in this assessment. And I'm going to put this into lecture mode now. One last final call for anyone having issues, and I'll put it into star 5 lecture mode. And just a reminder for Gabrielle and Carissa to please press star 6 to unmute your lines, and we'll be able to hear your presentation. We'll just test it quick.
The leader has muted your line. To unmute your line, press star 6.
Hi, Kim. It's Carissa. Just to test, can you hear me?
Hi, Carissa. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. So would you like me to get started?
Yes. So I'll turn it over to you. And I understand I've made Gabrielle presenter. Do you want to be a presenter as well, Carissa? Or?
Sure. That might make it a bit easier.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you. So while Kim is doing that, I just wanted to echo Kim's thank you to everyone. I just can't say enough. I know I've said it before by email, but it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to do it in person to acknowledge the strength and the dedication and the commitment of the H&HB Lynn Rehab Committee. It really is a strong pillar of support, even provincially, for the Rehab Care Alliance, and it's just such a pleasure to see the great work coming out of the H&HB Lynn. So thank you for all of that support. So we're happy to be here today. I also want to acknowledge all of the work that Kim Young in particular does as the RCA Lynn lead and such a strong lead regionally and provincially, and to acknowledge Gabrielle Sadler, who has done an amazing job analyzing a significant amount of data, as you will see very shortly. So with that, I'm just going to provide an overview of the presentation and a little bit of background before we do the deep dive and jump into the data analysis. You'll see that Gabrielle will speak to both provincial and H&HB Lynn results in terms of the self-assessment, as well as the self-assessment high performer, and then go into the data analysis specifically and highlight some best practice implementation strategies. I'm sure you're familiar with the Rehab Care Alliance vision that patient and system outcomes are optimized through the integration of rehabilitative care at all levels of health services policy, planning, and delivery. We carry that vision forward through all of our work, and we engage with Lynn's provincial stakeholders, client and caregiver representatives, through initiatives of the Rehab Care Alliance to strengthen and standardize rehabilitative care in Ontario with a focus on better planning, improved performance management and evaluation, and increased integration of best practices across the care continuum. Slide 5 gives you an overview of our governance structure. Certainly, we look to engage provincial stakeholders in all of our work and do so through both advisory committees that meet on a quarterly basis, as well as task groups that meet on a more monthly basis and who are more directly involved in our work. We do have a patient caregiver advisory group, as well as quarterly informational webinars, so that those who may not have the ability to participate on our work can still keep updated and learn about the work that we're undertaking. We also invite people to subscribe to our newsletter so that we can reach you and give you updates as to what we're doing, and always invite feedback and welcome feedback to the work that we're undertaking. And as Kim mentioned, the Rehab Care Alliance is funded by the LHIN CEOs. We operate on a two-year work plan cycle. We're just nearing the end of our current two-year work plan cycle, and we'll be seeking a renewal of that work plan for 2019 into 2021 in the next few weeks. So just going particularly on this initiative, an overview of the self-assessment process. As I'm sure you're aware, the Rehab Care Alliance in our previous mandate developed two rehabilitative care best practices frameworks that built on the work of the Health Quality Ontario Clinical Handbook for total joint replacement and hip fracture. And having participated on those two panels with HQO, I recognized at the time that the rehab recommendations were fairly global, and there was interest on the part of stakeholders for the Rehab Care Alliance to more specifically outline the rehabilitative care best practices for those two populations. And so the frameworks included the detailed best practices for those populations. We broke it out in alignment with the definitions, levels of care. We also included quick reference guides for each of those settings to summarize the best practices. And as we do with all of our initiatives, once work is complete, we share that information on our website, so that's available there. We then, in this mandate, undertook a provincial self-assessment process so that health service providers could determine how well their current care aligns with the best practices that we had outlined in the rehabilitative care frameworks. We released those self-assessment tools in January, and we asked for an initial deadline of May 4th, but there was a lot of interest, and so providers asked us to extend the deadline into July, which we did, and we received a total of 247 self-assessments, as you can see there, from 104 organizations across all 14 LHINs. So we were really pleased with that response. And just before I pass it over to Gabrielle, you can see, and again, kudos to HNHB LHIN for being the star performer across the province and submitting the highest number of self-assessments per LHIN at 19. So with that, Gabrielle, I'm going to pass that over to you, and we can do a bit of a deeper dive on the data.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Carissa. So I'm going to just start. First of all, can I just make sure that you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Tim. So I am going to start with just a very quick look at our numbers. And as Carissa had mentioned, congratulations. Oh, dear. We went flipped forward. There we are. Congratulations to HNHB LHIN, as you guys actually did have the largest number of organizations who submitted self-assessments. And in fact, you also had the highest number of self-assessments by LHIN. So this graph, as you will see here, is the number of hip fracture self-assessments by LHIN. And as you can see, HNHB definitely had the highest number, especially for bedded as well as for long-term care. So when you see the analysis, the nice thing about that is that when you had more self-assessments, then your analysis will be that much more robust for your quality improvement initiative. And this is the number of total joint replacements or total joint replacement self-assessments by Lynn. And again, you'll see that HNHB certainly had a high number, especially in pre-op as well as vetted. So congratulations for that. And now we're going to move on to just talk a little bit about our self-assessment high performers. So these high performers were those who were either all or mostly aligned with hip fracture and total joint replacement best practices on their self-assessments. And so what we did actually was to ask those particular high performers what were their best practice implementation strategies so that we could share those with everyone. And that way we could promote that knowledge exchange and help others to be able to also become high performers. And so these were our high performers. Again, they were those who were all or mostly aligned with the best practices. And congratulations again. So you guys definitely had the high performers for the long-term care sector in the hip fracture area. And under total joint replacement, you'll see that St. Joseph's Healthcare Hamilton was a high performer in the preoperative care. And under bedded, Brant Community Healthcare as well as Dundurn Place were high performers. So congratulations to your Lynn and to those organizations. And so now it's going to move specifically into the self-assessment data analysis. So I wanted to start by giving you a little bit of an overview of what this is going to look like. And when you actually look at the report, it is broken down in the same way. So you will see first that there is a heat map, and that heat map highlights the priorities for improvement in the different areas. And this was based on the organizational best practice ratings of aligned, partially aligned, or not aligned. So if you were one of the individuals who helped with actually completing one of these self-assessments, you will remember that the best practices were outlined on the self-assessment, and then you actually had to rate each best practice as aligned, partially aligned, or not aligned. And so this is what this heat map is based on. As well, you will see that there was provincial data analysis of the goal summary. And so those goals were the goals that were outlined by each organization, and they were outlined as short-term goals, mid-range, and long-term goals, as well as the resources analysis. And what this is they were resources that were requested by each organization to their LIN. And so it's essentially the ask that each organization had so that they would be able to do their best practices. So this provincial data analysis piece is not something we're actually going to go over today, but it is found in the report, which I believe Kim is going to be distributing to everyone after this session. So you can certainly look at the provincial analysis there. What we are going to talk about is the LIN-specific goals and resources requested. So we're going to look at HNHB's goals or the organizations that are from HNHB, what their goals were, as well as the resources that they requested. We're also going to look at HNHB's strengths. And these were the strengths that were outlined by organizations where those particular best practices were either all or mostly aligned. And then the opportunities, and so these would be the least aligned best practices. So HNHB actually did have enough self-assessments submitted in specific sectors that we were able to provide you with a Pareto analysis of the goals and or the resources requested by each organization. So just to give you a little bit of an understanding of what Pareto analysis is, it's a method that helps us to determine what are the most important factors that will significantly affect a process or a best practice. And so it really prioritizes which issues or processes, et cetera, that you really want to focus on. This is what you want to work on first. And it identifies these by using, for those of you who use Lean, it's kind of based on that 80-20 rule. So 80% of the problems are caused by 20% of the contributors. And in this case, we looked at the frequency of occurrence as our unit of comparison. You can use other units, but that's what we use. So this is an example of a Pareto diagram, so it's not a real example at this point, but just to give you a sense of, you can see there that there's a bar chart, and that shows the impact of each of those individual categories. So you'll see at the bottom, there are categories of complaint, so noisy, lack of sleep, food, et cetera. And then you will see a line that's drawn through it that goes from 0 to 100, and that's your cumulative line. So it shows how each of the individual categories will add up to the overall or the total overall effect. And what we're trying to pull out are the vital few, and you'll see there in red and orange that the vital few in this example were noise and lack of sleep. So if this hospital were to address those, then they would be able to make the greatest impact on their process. So here is your heat map for hip fracture bedded. And as you see, H&HB had 11 self-assessments that were submitted. You can see here that the priorities for improvement, they're in red. So delirium, dementia, and depression definitely stands out as an area that would be a priority for improvement, as well as patient and family education. And so here is your goal summary Pareto for hip fracture bedded. You actually did not have any significant goals that stood out. And what actually shows as significant is when they actually make up 20% of the cumulative total. So as you can see, none of your goals actually made up 20% of the cumulative total. Having said that, your top goals were patient and family education materials, as well as osteoporosis management. And from your resources requested, you will see that the highest resource requested was a risk of readmission assessment tool. And this is just, you'll see this in each, for each analysis, and that's just going over what we had just talked about from the Pareto diagram. So your strengths, in the hip fracture bedded area, you definitely showed strength with your assessment. So your nursing assessments are completed within 24 hours. Your skin and wound assessments are completed and prevention strategies are put into place, as well as your fall risk assessments. And you are also assessing for behavior, cognitive, and functional status. You are looking at rehab goals and documenting this with patients and families. Your dietary or patient's dietary intake is monitored and consultation is happening. There's multifactorial individualized fall prevention strategies that are being utilized. Treatments include range of motion, strengthening, balance, and exercise, as well as mobility, gait, and stair training. And those referrals are happening to home care and or outpatient providers. And now here are your opportunities. So these, again, were the least aligned best practices. So that was providing families with standardized education materials on 3Ds, not surprising considering what the heat map showed, as well as osteoporosis management and using bone fit principles, and then providing patients and families with education with regard to this. And again, not surprisingly, the patient risk of readmission being assessed using a standardized tool. So this is our hip fracture ambulatory heat map. You'll see H and HB there is very well aligned. And it, also at the bottom, you'll see there's a comment that one of the organizations that was also included in your analysis was one of the multi-LIN organizations. So what a multi-LIN organization is an organization that actually provided to provide service across a number of different LINs. So this particular organization also provides service in the H&HB LIN. So your ambulatory assessment is actually based on three self-assessments. And so you did not have enough for us to be able to do Pareto analysis in the ambulatory sector. However, you will see here that your goals are for bone fit and osteoporosis management. You'll see that right through the short-term and mid-range goals. You'll also see 3Ds management is something that was important to your organizations, and that was also asked for as a resource to have education and tools around the 3Ds. In general, patients and family education materials were asked for, as well as it became one of your goals, fall prevention programs and cognitive assessments. And long-term goals were looking at funding to increase services as well as referral management. So your strengths, you actually had several strengths in the ambulatory sector, so a functional assessment being completed, three Ds. So for this, particularly delirium, was something that was being treated, as well as depression, and pain is also being assessed, and management strategies are being utilized. In addition, pressure ulcer management is happening, which is interesting because this is actually something that provincially was considered an opportunity for improvement in the hip fracture ambulatory area. So kudos to you. As well, falls risk was considered a strength, interventions to improve independence as well as driving, and then patient and caregiver communication to review care and treatment programs as well as discharge planning. So having that discharge based on the achievement of goals, and this is done face-to-face. And then those referrals are being made and the family are aware of them. So your least aligned best practices are, again, not surprisingly, this is something that was provincial as well, in getting that rehab to commence no later than 1 week following discharge from acute care, and then to last an average of 8 weeks, as well as using osteoporosis bone fit principles in your treatment, having your patient and education or your patient and family education materials being AODA compliant. And this is actually something that we've seen provincially as well. And finally, osteoporosis management education for patients and families. So here's your hip fracture in-home provincial priorities for improvement. And again, you'll see that there's a note there that there is a multi-LIN organization that was also included in your self-assessment analysis. And you can see here that the areas that require the most focus is in the assessment area, again, and again, the 3Ds. And so your goals really focused on education for osteoporosis, 3Ds, as well as being AODA compliant for your patient and family education, and then building some stronger relationships between LIN and stakeholders. And the resources that were asked for were, again, that patient and family education materials, a clinical best practice framework resources, and 3Ds education and tools. So your strengths were 3Ds management, and that included assessment and prevention, as well as interprofessional rehab, and your pain assessment and management, as well as pressure ulcer management and falls risk management. And here are some further strengths are the use of validated outcome measures. And that's actually a good one as well, because this was considered a provincial opportunity for improvement. So again, kudos to you guys. And then interventions which promote independence, so strengthening, driving, and safe outdoor mobility. Again, patients are being a part of their care. So they're engaged in that regular communication, and they're part of their discharge plan and falls risk status. And they're also getting education with regard to healthy lifestyles. And this was also something that was provincially something that was an opportunity for improvement. So good for you as you're doing it. So your least aligned best practices, again, was that timeliness. So getting that assessment completed within 48 hours of discharge, as well as having that rehab course last an average of 8 weeks. And this is where the kicker, I think, is that 2 to 3 times per week, depending on the clinical needs and tolerance. And hip fracture long-term care. So you guys definitely had the highest number of long-term care self-assessments being submitted, with 8 self-assessments submitted. And you can see here that we were able to do a Pareto analysis, and the highest goal that was cited was the need for a frailty assessment. So that's something that we you may want to be looking at from a quality improvement standpoint. And so your resources requested, so what you're asking for, was the patient and family education materials, as well as osteoporosis resources. And so your strengths are, first of all, outcome measures. So using that standardized outcome measures, as well as standardized screening assessment tools, and that would be for dementia. And you're also assessing depression when it is suspected. You are using interprofessional rehabilitation, and you are assessing for pain using a validated pain scale, and then managing that appropriately. You are assessing for pressure ulcers and then managing that. And you're also looking at osteoporosis management, falls risk assessment and management, interventions which include progression of their functional abilities, and as well as improving their physical activity, balance, and preventing falls. And you are having ongoing communication with residents and their families. So your least aligned best practices were frailty assessment, so that's not surprising considering that was the goal that came out, as well as looking at osteoporosis management and education, such as bone fit. So for total joint replacement preoperative care, so as you can see, the highest needs that were outlined here was for screening in the H&HB LIN. But as you can see right across the whole province, there's a lot of red in this area. And so really, this is an area that may be a place of focus for our entire province in terms of potential for quality improvement. And so in terms of your goal summary, the most significant goals that came out were cross-sectoral communication. So things such as for pre-op to be communicating with in-home, so home care, as well as the bedded levels and outpatient, as well as use of outcome measures and also transportation. So So as well, we talked about the goals, but the resources or the ask from these preoperative care programs were having social support outcome measures, as well as standardized assessment tools to determine the post-surgical destination. So your strengths, first of all, was to be able to have some sort of urgency rating, and as well to be able to determine the disability or the level of disability. So being able to assess this and their functional ability. In addition, having both physiotherapy and or occupational therapy assessments completed to determine the equipment that might be needed post-surgery. And then having patients provided with information regarding equipment, assistive devices, home modifications. And then also having patient and caregiver information that is AODA compliant, and to be having having a contact where patients are able to contact somebody if they have any follow-up questions. So here are your least aligned best practices in the pre-op sector. And so that would be patients being screened preoperatively to be able to predict their post-op discharge needs. And so that actually is interesting because that is what was asked for in the resources. As well, having assessments completed to confirm that post-surgery discharge destination, again, not surprising considering what we've already talked about, and using pre-op outcome measures to establish a benchmark for the patient's progress when they are post-op, and then having them referred to a pre-op strengthening a range of motion program. And so that's kind of a prehab program that many places are instituting now. So in terms of bedded for your total joint replacements, you can see that we're doing pretty well. So right across here, we're pretty green, which is great to see. So your goal summary, the highest goals were having to be able to have standardized discharge processes, patient and family education materials, as well as community partnerships. And your resources requested, so there was a request for a coaching program of, so that's an interesting idea, as well as standardized discharge documentation, patient education resources, and interestingly, time with the LIN, which I think kind of goes hand in hand with that coaching program idea. So your strengths, your patients are receiving individualized assessments, and then those individualized therapy plans are being developed based on those assessments. You are establishing goals with patients and families. You're also providing interventions that include improving active range of motion, strengthening, functional training. This is provided by a dedicated interprofessional team. Pain is being assessed and is also being treated using a validated pain measurement tool. And total joint replacement precautions are being discussed, and that EDD is anticipated and discussed with the family. And your least aligned best practices are, number one, outcome measures for both performance and patient report, as well as education that's focused on healthy lifestyle. And finally, referrals for ongoing rehabilitative care. So for that to be done prior to the person leaving their bedded level of care. So for total joint ambulatory, again, you'll see that a multi-LIN organization was also included in your assessment. And again, you will see we're quite green here, which is great. So we seem to be doing very well in total joint in general, with perhaps the exception of that pre-op area. So the goals that you've made, you've put forward, again, osteoporosis management, so in particular giving fall program and bone fit staff education, patient and family education, and then again, that patient report measures, and we saw that in the last sector. A lifestyle modification education, and just making sure that those education materials are AODA compliant. And then also to be able to have some progressive resistance or exercise programs. Long-term goals, we saw this in your hip fracture ambulatory, and that was, again, looking at funding and potentially partnerships with home and community care. And the resources requested were exercise prescriptions with sufficient intensity. So your strengths were validated measurement tools to look at things like ADLs and IADLs, goals being established with patients and their families, interventions, again, improving active range of motion and strengthening and functional training, pain assessments and management, being supervised by a regulated health professional, giving patients their exercise programs for home, and having EDDs, again, anticipated and discussed with patients and their families, and then also doing that discharge planning, including referrals to other community resources and programs. So your least aligned best practices, again, it's that timing piece. So rehab for total knee replacement should commence within 7 days of discharge from acute care, and for total hip replacement, it's within 2 to 6 weeks following discharge from acute care. Outcome measures include both performance measures and patient report measures, and you will remember that from the last sector that we talked about with the bedded. Patient education materials being AODA compliant, and then as well health, having education that is focused on healthy lifestyles. And finally, this is a total joint replacement in home, and you will see here that we are totally green. So that's amazing. So well done, I guess, to the whole province for this. And so the short-term goals that came out of the H&HB Lynn were staff education, again, that performance and patient report outcome measures, having AODA compliant patient and family education, and also education that's based on lifestyle factors. And then your long-term goals, you have an idea for developing an electronic toolkit and an advocate for home therapy with the funders, or to advocate, I should say, for home therapy with the funders. And resources that are being asked for are performance and patient report outcome measures. So your strengths, again, using those validated measurement tools, goals. So you are very goal-directed and really inclusive of patients and families. In this case, you are starting the services within 7 days from discharge from acute care. Treatment is including that hands-on manual therapy techniques, self-management, equipment and assistive devices. You are assessing and managing pain. And then patients and families are provided with education on safe activity resumption, mobility, pain management, community support. And as well, there is a self-management component that's included in the treatment plan. The EDD is anticipated and discussed. And if a person's personal goals exceed those of what the program can provide then a home exercise program is also initiated, as well as exploring other community resources. And then referrals are being made to those community resources and programs. So your least aligned best practices. So this is, again, trying to maintain that frequency. So in the first few weeks, it's recommended that it's 2 to 3 times per week, and then potentially move back after that. And this is something that is has been very difficult for most limbs to be able to meet, as well as, again, using those both performance and patient report outcome measures, and then having patient education materials that are AODA compliant. So in summary, I wanted to first give you an idea of what the overall provincial summary was, just to be able to help you have a context for when you see your H&HB summary. So the provincial summary was based on 247 self-assessment submissions. And so the province in general, the common areas of strength, and that was right across all sectors, was individualized treatment interventions, having both patients and caregivers engaged in the assessment and treatment and management, having a dedicated interprofessional team, and that was in particular for pre-op vetted in-home and long-term care sectors. So you'll see that the ambulatory sector is not included there, and goal-directed plans of care. And across the province, the common opportunity for improvement were patient and family education materials, which we saw many times as well in the H&HB LIN, as well as communication across the continuum of care, and then the use of validated outcome measures and risk assessment tools. And particularly for hip fracture, it was addressing dementia, delirium, and depression. And for total joint, it was addressing the preoperative supports, if you remember the sea of red that we saw in the heat map. So this was your summary. So you had a total of 43 self-assessments that were received from 21 organizations across your LIN, and that included 2 multi-LIN organizations, and all your healthcare sectors were assessed. Your common areas of strength were individualized treatment interventions, as well as patient and caregiver engagement. And for hip fracture in particular, you had a strength with fall prevention and management right across all the sectors. And for total joint replacement, right across all the sectors, you were assessing and managing pain using best practices, as well as utilizing that goal-directed care that we talked about, that you guys have been very, it showed up in the self-assessments that you are establishing goals with patients and families and then moving based on that. Your common opportunities for improvement were in hip fracture was osteoporosis management, and for total joint replacement was performance and patient report outcome measures. And we had talked about that really came up in most of the sectors for the total joint replacement. Now, I don't think that we actually have the time to get into this. Kim, would that be correct? I think perhaps we won't have the time to actually go through these best practice implementation strategies. These were the strategies that were brought forward by our high performer. So I really would like to encourage you to take a look. I believe that these slides are going to be distributed. So feel free to take a look at those implementation strategies when you get a chance. They are also embedded in your H&HB LIN report. So feel free to take a look at them when you're looking at your own quality improvement initiatives. It might give you some ideas. And so with that, Kim, should I hand it back to you?
Yes, Gabrielle. I want to thank you very much, both Gabrielle and Krista, for all of the work that you've done to summarize and analyze these results. I'm going to just hit *5 here so that I can unmute the line. Can someone on the line try to speak now to
Peter
make sure
has unmuted your line.
And I just want to open it up to questions. Our plan in the H&HB Lynn is we have this on the agenda for the next Rehabilitative Care Committee so we can discuss as a group some of those common strengths and opportunities and our next steps within the H&HB Lynn. And I want to open it up for questions now. I don't see any questions typed on the webinar, but feel free now on audio, you can ask questions as well.
Just Lisa Gillies here, HHS. Just want to thank everyone for the collation of this information. I think it's really, really interesting content, and I'm sure like a lot of people will look forward to collectively kind of working together to address, to recognize and celebrate the great achievements, but to work on the improvement. So thank you for this work.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie Gillies. And now we have about 4 more minutes left, so I'm just going to wait to see any other questions.
Kim and David, I'm just going to apologize. I'm going to log off now for my other call.
Thanks, David. We'll table this at the Rehabilitative Care Committee in terms of next steps.
Absolutely. An excellent presentation. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, David. Any other questions? We don't get much time with Gabrielle and with Carissa, specifically with all of our stakeholders. So any other questions on teleconference?
Hi, this is Chris Pollard from Hotel Du, Kim. I just have a question. Is part of the intention of the next RCA mandate to work on some of these tools that seem so overarching, patient and family education, AODA, compliance, osteoporosis management, some of those things that would, you know, cover all of the transitions of care?
Good question, Chris. So I'm going to, Chris and Levy, are you still on the line, and are you able to answer that question about whether Mandate 4 would include some of those overarching provincial priorities? Chris, are you still on the line?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I forgot I had to press the pound 6.
Oh. Star 6 again.
Star 6, yes. Figured that one out. Thank you. So, yeah, absolutely. That is part of what we're looking at is to develop tools and resources to guide development of quality improvement plans. It's always a bit of a struggle trying to identify how we can build on the findings of the self-assessment. To make sure that we can support organizations at a provincial level, but at the same time, you know, a lot of the work and responsibility, I think, as Gabrielle has highlighted, is quality improvement at the organizational level. So trying to balance that, but absolutely will incorporate part of our work plan to see how we can connect regions with existing resources to address opportunities for improvement and continue to perform a knowledge exchange role in supporting best practice implementation.
Thank you, Carissa. And I see a question here. We have 1 minute left, and I see a question on the webinar, and that's Sarah. With many organizations participating in the IDEAS program related to bundled care, will this survey be redone? So I think that the self-assessment tools, I'll just speak, the RCA, please feel free to chime in, but the self-assessment tools were designed for organizations to use at any time, so any organizations can complete a reassessment. And in terms of plans for a provincial reassessment, that is not part of the plan, but these tools are designed for you to do the ongoing self-assessment and identify quality improvement initiatives and lends itself very nicely to that. Anything, Chris or Gabrielle, you want to add?
Kim, I could not have answered that better myself.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, we're at time. We're at 1 o'clock. I want to thank everyone. We did have 50 people join this webinar. So with everyone's busy schedules and competing priorities, thank you for making the time to make this a priority. Thanks again to all of our stakeholders for completing the self-assessment and for Gabrielle and Chris and all the great work of the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance to help us guide our next steps. We will be tabling this at the Rehabilitative Care Committee meeting on January 14th in terms of identifying our next steps in the LIN. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a great day. I see one, Dan Riddell, I see you typing. Not sure before we hang up if you have a question. He says, thank you. This is great information, one of our convalescent care program partners. So thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The leader has ended the meeting. Goodbye.